Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
I think it's just the weirdest thing that I like that music because it's not my style of music, but I always end up bopping in my chair. Welcome to the June 11th issue of Be Unique Unscripted. I am your host, Mary Brotherton, and with me is my co-host, Jean Albertson, that we just kind of snagged, borrowed, snurched, absorbed. I don't know exactly how we just got lucky. We met Jean when Be Unique Productions was doing the Green Gables documentary, Forgotten Enchantress. If you haven't heard about that, you got to go to beunique.org, find the link there, watch this free film. It's phenomenal. It helped Green Gables raise more than $50,000 to save that historic home.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's how we got Gene. We met him,
so
we clicked,
cool.
and he's with us. And I have known Michelle Schaefer for longer than I care to count. Many years. She has just been a bright spot in my world, and just hearing her voice today before the show made me happy. Michelle is a Be Unique staff writer who holds a master's in psychology and a certification as a vegan lifestyle coach and educator. She has not eaten meat in more than 25 years. You got to go to beunique.org, read issue 14, where she tells you why she was the first vegan she had ever met. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Mary, thank you so much. Jean, it's great to be here with you.
Hey,
it is
sure.
This is so exciting. It is such an honor and a privilege today to be able to introduce to the world who hasn't yet learned about this amazing woman, Renee King Sonnen from Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. So for those of you who do not know Renee or Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, I'll just give you a quick overview. Renee was a city girl from Houston. Renee, pop in, tell me if I'm doing anything wrong. She was a singer, a performer. Then she fell in love with a rancher, moved 50 miles outside of Houston to the ranch, was a rancher's wife, was expected to be a good rancher's wife and participate in all the ranching duties. But if any of you listeners out there have ever met Renee, you know that is not who she is. And for anyone who's ever seen a video or has met Renee, you might even think that Rowdy Girl refers to Renee herself, but that, in fact, is not the case. It is my pleasure to introduce one of the most badass feminist, vegan, pioneer animal heroes in the world, Renee King Sonnen. Renee, welcome. Please tell us, who is Rowdy Girl?
Oh my God! Well, thank you so much. Well, that was a great introduction, and you just had me blushing over here. Thank you, Michelle. Well, you know, Rowdy Girl. You know, sometimes I don't know where she begins and I end.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I had a rebirth when Rowdy Girl came into my life, and Rowdy Girl is a cow. And you know. little rowdy girl came into my life, you know, when I was still a rancher, you know, married to a multi-generational cattle rancher. I didn't really care about doing all the ranching, like you said, but nevertheless, I was one. And, you know, and when I got little rowdy girl, my whole life changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How is that? Now, you had no, you were eating meat, you know, you were just like the majority of us, right? You had grown up eating meat and dairy and eggs and all that stuff. You moved to the ranch, you didn't think too much about it. But why did you start to have such a connection with Rowdy Girl? What happened there?
Well, what happened was I always, you know, coming from Texas and being, you know, part of, I was always going to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Every year, mm-hmm. I was part of, you know, the Texas culture. I had leather clothes, leather boots, barbecue cook-offs, you know, chili cook-offs. I mean, you know, I was a meat-eating, leather-wearing, you know, vegan cowgirl. I mean, Texas cowgirl. And,
right.
You know, but I really was, you know, but I, you know, I was one of those city cowgirls. And then when I married Tony... and moved to the ranch, it was like, okay, I will, you know, you do your cattle ranching thing, you know, out there in the mud and the poop and, you know, and the cold weather and the rain and, you know, and I will do my meditation and my yoga and everything on the inside of the house. And if I want to come outside, I want to make sure the sun is shining just right and it ain't too hot and it ain't too cold, and I'll do my yoga out there, but I didn't want anything to do with what it meant to really be a cattle rancher, because you have to be out there no matter what, you know, rain, sleet,
right.
Sky, cold, whatever. But when Rowdy Girl, you know, Tommy convinced me to bottle feed these two babies. Rowdy Girl,
right? They had lost their mother, correct? They had lost their mother.
They had lost their mother.
Mhm. Mhm.
You're absolutely right. You know the story. You know. You've got to. You know, that's what happened is I don't have any kids of my own. I could never have kids. And so Tommy was wanting to get me more involved in the ranch. And so he told me about these little calves that needed a mama. And he tugged on my mm-hmm. heartstrings. And next thing you know, I'm bottle feeding two baby calves. And I was
right. So
lit up by that experience. I you know, I wasn't a vegan, but man, you know, if you see a little baby, anything, a baby calf, a baby armadillo,
right.
A baby squirrel, a baby, you love them little babies, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what.
Right.
You just, and oh my goodness, these babies loved me. I loved them. And little Bobo passed away very young, and it was sad,
oh,
but Rowdy
yeah.
Girl, oh my God, she thrived.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that began my connection to the whole herd. Feeding Rowdy Girl fed me a connection to the animals that I'd never seen before. And that's the animals
right.
I used to eat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, tell us what happened to you when you would, after feeding Rowdy Girl and developing that bond, that connection, something started to shift in you, right, Renee? You would, you had a different experience when they would go off to the sale barn.
Yeah, you know, I always considered myself a person that loved animals, Michelle. I was always,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
bringing home stray dogs and cats, and even had a raccoon early. I had a raccoon and, you know, ferret, and I always loved animals. But I
right.
never thought about loving cows or pigs or chickens. I mean, you know,
right.
you know, I was just very, very removed from them. Well, as you can imagine, I guess if I was eating dogs and cats, I'd have been removed from them too. But I was eating, you know, the other animals. And what happened is when I started bottle feeding Rowdy Girl, I started bonding with animals that I was also mm-hmm. eating. And it began
right.
to be a real conflict of interest. How's that?
Sure,
mm-hmm.
sure. I'd say so.
I started to really notice all the animals. Even we had black Angus for the most part, and you know they
uh-huh.
all. You know, if you don't really pay attention, they all look alike. But once I started paying attention, they all were different. Every single
right.
one of them had a different personality, Every single one of them had, you know, different family members. They had bonds. They had friends. They had babysitters. And when I started noticing them, when I was feeding Rowdy Girl, it began to change my perspective like nobody's business.
I believe you. Now, I want to just say, that's one of my favorite things. You just mentioned it parenthetically, but the babysitters. I think that is the sweetest, most amazing, wonderful thing. So if Mama Cow's not around, the baby cows have their babysitters, right? They have these other cows that come and take care of them. Yeah.
Well, my mother, no mother will ever leave their baby alone, hopefully. And why in the world we would ever think that cows are any different or wolves or any other animals, beyond me. But when I began to witness it with my own eyes, when I began, I thought I was, you know, seeing things at first.
Right.
You know, I would watch the mamas with their babies, and she would go over and she would kind of tap on Tippy, and Tippy would look up and he'd see the baby over there laying in a, you know, a little grassy area, and he'd walk over and hang out with the babies, and Mama would go off and graze and eat and drink her water and, you know, do a, you know, poop here and there, and then she would come back a little bit, and, you know, Tippy would go on to the next mama that needed a babysitter.
So sweet. It's one of my favorite. Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, so you, if I understand your story correctly, I've heard it a few times. I love it every time I hear it. You really struggled with this because, obviously, you know, my gosh, you're in the middle of Texas. You're married to a rancher. You grew up eating meat, and suddenly there's this shift in your perspective that is completely undeniable. So you started experimenting with humane farming. You wanted to, like, you started buying the humane, quote, I'm using air quotes, it's a podcast, I should say that, I'm using air quotes, humane meat, which we now all know does not exist, but that just didn't get you there. You eventually went vegan, Renee, and then you challenged your husband, Tommy. You challenged him by asking him, why don't we eat our own cows? Tell us about how he responded to that. Yeah. How did Tommy respond when you asked, why don't we eat our own cows? He didn't like that question, did he?
No, he didn't like it at all. He never wanted to answer it. He would look at me with his face like, you know, what the hell are you doing asking me that? That's the taboo question, you know, or one of them.
Right.
There's several. But I said to him, you know, if we're going to be in this business, because I started having a real conflict of interest. You know, I didn't like eating my cheeseburgers and feeding Rowdy Girl. And so I started saying to him, well, if we're going to graze these cows out here, then why aren't we eating them? He would look at me and he would say, well, Renee, I don't want to answer that. And I said, well, I need you to answer it because I'm having a real problem here. You know, we got grass-fed, quote-unquote, cows out here, beef, as they call it, and yet we send these cows off to the sale barn. And yet we go buy our meat, our humane, you know, grade 4 or 5 meat up at the grocery store, and we bring it home and cook it, and we send our cows off to be sold. I said, you know, why do we do that? I want to know. And he said, well, Renee, I'll tell you. I can't eat my own cows. I can't eat cows I know. That flew in my face. I said, well, that just messed. I didn't say messed up. I used the F word. And I don't think I should use it on radio, although I have been known.
Oh, you can say flower all day long.
Yeah,
I can say flower? Oh, okay. I flowered it up. Okay, so I told Tommy, I said, that's messed up. I said, how can you send these babies to the sale barn, yet eat animals that you don't know? How could we be doing this? It doesn't make sense.
He would
go on to answer me, and but I want to make sure I'm sticking to what you want to know. So you just tell me what you want to know, baby.
Well, I love that you challenged him with that. I love that you didn't back down. You had this internal transformation. And, you know, I think, you know, my master's is in psychology. I tend to think in these terms. I think a lot of people in that situation might, pun intended here, kind of swallow that new information and just kind of accept their fate. Okay, I'm a vegan who's married to a rancher. That's just my new, that's just what's happening. And compartmentalize. But you didn't do that. You really kept pushing. And for those who don't know, Renee's story is so cool.
I wasn't a vegan at that time.
Oh, you weren't vegan yet at that time. It took you like 4 years to transition fully to veganism. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Hmm. But at some point you told your husband, look, here's what I'm going to do. If you go to sell, put those cattle on the sell truck one more time. Tell that story, if you would, please. That's so good. What did you say to him?
Well, I told him he was, I had gone vegan. After 4 years, exactly, I went vegan on October 31st, 2014. And when I did, it was as if my feelings came out from the inside onto the outside, and I could not let him sell those cows. And, you know, and like, who am I to stop my husband from loading up those cows and sending them to sale barns? Well, he had a horse to be reckoned with, because I went out there when he was trying to load them up one day, and I said, I was in the pasture, and I put my foot down. I said, you send them cows to the sale barn one more time, and I'm going to follow you. I will follow you all the way to the sale barn. I will take your credit card. I will buy them all back, and I'm bringing them back home.
That's awesome.
And Tommy's a big guy, and if for those of you who don't know, Renee's this tiny little thing, and Tommy's this great big guy, and so I just love the image of you just sassing him up like that. So good. So then you raise money, you eventually bought all the cows, and you became the first ranch ever to transition into a vegan sanctuary. Isn't that right?
As far as I know, unless somebody just is too scared to talk about it, but I looked it up. I mean, there's been some happen since, but we're the first documented beef cattle ranch conversion, and as far as I know, in history, yeah.
Wow.
Right, and that is just, isn't that incredible, listeners?
Yeah.
Isn't that just amazing? This one woman, this tiny little lady from Texas, did this amazing thing. You have to imagine the courage it took, the persistence, the internal work, Renee, that you had to do, and then the external work. Now, I love that when you were raising money to buy the cattle, you said that you use social media. You have said in past interviews that you've used social media, and that people in Canada knew before your next door neighbors knew what you were doing.
You're right about that. You are so right. Because, I mean, I didn't think I'd be too popular telling the ranchers next door that I'd gone vegan, and, you know, would they listen and help me out?
Right.
That wasn't going to happen. So I started getting on social media, and I started getting a lot of vegan friends, and because, you know, I had to buy these cows, and the only way I was going to buy these cows for my husband was to get a lot of friends to help me figure out how I was going to do that, and so I did, and I started talking to people like Kip Anderson and Howard Lyman and Gene
Howard
Bauer.
Lyman.
And, yeah, I started talking to these guys, and I was like, I was so serious. I don't know if it was courage, Michelle. I don't know what it was. All I knew is I loved these cows like they were my family. And if they went to the sale barn and they were going to be slaughtered, it was going to be over my dead body. And I was serious. I had that kind of mother's love. I had a mother's love for animals that I used to eat. And so, yeah, I used social media. I raised $36,000 in less than 4 months and bought my husband's cow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Right. And listeners, Kip Anderson is the documentarian who brought us Cowspiracy and What the Health. Gene Bauer is the president of the Farm Sanctuary, and Howard Lyman is a former cattle rancher from Montana turned vegan advocate. So it's so cool that you brought in all of these amazing folks that you were, and you didn't really know that they were these, you know, big players in the vegan world, right? You were just like, hey, I need help. I'm going to reach out to people who I think might be able to help me. So
I had no idea I didn't have no idea what a vegan advocate was. I was becoming one, but I had no idea. I just knew these people, you know, had done a lot of stuff, and I was talking to people that could do something. That's all I knew.
Sure.
Right, right. And you mentioned that. Yeah, go ahead.
And I need to step in for just a second and play a commercial, but I also want to remind all of our listeners, if they'd like to call in and just say hello or ask a question from any of us, but mostly Renee, give us a call. The number is 516-418-5651. It's also on the BeUnique.org website. But here's our commercial. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
He's smart, funny, and very good looking, but he won't let it go to his head.
Out of all my stunning attributes, it's my humility that makes me perfect.
I'm sexy and I know it.
He's Thor, and he's hosting the new show, Thornication, Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, only on AstronetRadio.com.
And we're back, and I hand it over to you, Renee, after I announce the phone number one more time. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 516-418-5651. Take it away, Michelle.
So, Renee, you mentioned that you grew up loving animals without thinking too much about the animals that we're taught are animals raised for food. But you also mentioned that all the ranchers you know genuinely love their cattle. They love their animals. Now, this is something that I think a lot of vegans struggle to understand. But a lot of vegans will say, oh, yeah, you love your cattle so much, you kill them. But it's more complicated than that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot more complicated than that, you know. You know, cattle ranchers, families, you know, they're the salt of the earth. You know, our country, was founded upon, you know, these families. They love the land. They love their animals. They will all tell you that's why they do what they do. And I can remember my husband before I went vegan and, you know, before he was vegan, I can remember him being up all hours of the night to help, you know, cows, you know, with calves that, you know, were having trouble. And he'd be out there doing that. And, you know, he'd be out there helping, you know, cows that were down or having problems. And yes, we sent them to sale, but that's because that's what the business model was, a cow calf operation. But, you know, there's a part of a rancher that they love the animals, and they have to stay disconnected to who they are. It's a what they are, but they still love these animals. And, you know, and up until the time they send them to the sale barn, they have this very, very deep connection. And then when it's time to sell them, they have to switch it off like a light switch. They have to jump into another compartment in their mind, and they have to do what they got to do to feed the world. And so this is the messaging that's perpetuated and taught in FFA, 4-H. All our kids are programmed. Cattle ranching business, animal agriculture is a violent program. It's normalized violence. It's normalized violence. So absolutely, cattle ranchers love their animals and kill them. It's normal.
Right, right. That's such a hard piece for so many people to understand, and yet if you think about it in other ways, it makes sense. So I love hearing you talk about that, and I know that you have said that you are not just an animal activist, but you're a rancher's activist. And that, in fact, is what Rowdy Girl Sanctuary does, right? You help other ranches transition into other types of farming, like solar, wind, solar power, wind power, veganic farming, correct? And I see on your Facebook page, the Rowdy Girl Sanctuary Facebook page, that a recent transition has just been made. Oh, I lost it. Someone, another ranch near you just went vegan.
Well, they've been vegan a while. In fact, Starlove was the very first. Starlove was the very first cattle ranch that contacted me, Holly and Davey Shockle, before the Rancher Advocacy Program was even a program online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so that cattle ranch is, I mean, that family is so amazing. They're right there in Giddings, Texas. And it isn't like I have cattle ranchers calling me left and right wanting to transition, but the ones wanting to transition, when they want to, I will go to hell and back to help them. And, you know, we've got them. We've got the Barrett Family Farm in Wicks, Arkansas, that we're converting their ranch to a mushroom farm. They used to, you know, work for Tyson. They used to work, you know, for other chicken integrators, and they were a cattle ranch family, and we are converting their 200-acre farm to mushrooms, and they're full-on plant-based vegans now. You know, they used to process 100,000 chickens every 52 days. Put your mind around 100,000 fat, nasty, dirty, stinky chickens combined in these sheds. They would have to walk through that mess, pick up dead animals. All these animals are just pumped full of, you know, whatever it is they have to give them to make them big and fat and juicy. And, you know, it's the most horrific business. Chicken farmers have the most terrific business ever. And these farmers are now vegan on the plan to grow mushrooms. Yes, ma'am.
Yay!
Look more appealing.
Yeah, that is just so cool. I just love hearing that, and I love that they can reach out to you. Now, given the fact that ranchers do genuinely, most ranchers, and we're talking about, like your ranch was a free-range, grass-fed cattle ranch. Right now, we're not particularly discussing CAFOs, the factory farming, industrial farming, but what do you think is the number one thing that keeps people, keeps companies, keeps ranches from transitioning to solar, wind, mushrooms, or other plant-based ingredients? I'm guessing it's money.
Well, you know, times are changing, and yeah, money is a big factor, but another big factor is, you know, tradition and culture. It's kind of like, you know, if you believe in Christmas and Thanksgiving and all these holidays, I mean, every year it's a tradition that you get together and you meet and you have Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving dinner and Easter rabbits and, you know, whatever it is, it's a tradition. If you just stop doing that, you would be missing it. Like for cattle ranchers, for farmers, you know, particularly cattle, you know, like multi-generational cattle farms, they are traditionally bonded to that land through families, you know, generations of families and heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, money is a factor. And, I mean, we've never converted any farm to wind or solar, although I'd be happy to help somebody do that. I'd figure it out if I had to, but mainly what we do, our biggest push is helping farms understand how to get back in relationship with their land and go from animal farming to plant-based veganic farming, you know, because veganic farming is the future. Organic farming is only as good as it is, but it ain't good enough because organic farming is not vegan either.
We want to go from organic to veganic farming.
Because organic isn't vegan for the most part. If you buy organic tomatoes, they probably, you know, have been grown in dirt that's full of cow manure and blood and feathers and, you know, fish. Who knows what all, you know?
Sure.
Right.
And all that
right.
stuff, all that stuff comes from feedlots.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And any kind of disease that comes from vegetables doesn't really come from vegetables. I remember several years ago, some people died from eating broccoli. And, well, so some consumers might think, well, yeah, you can get E. coli, salmonella poisoning from eating meat, poultry, dairy, et cetera, but you can get the same things from vegetables. Well, that's not really true. It's about the runoff from the feedlot that gets into the
mm-hmm.
soil that contaminates
right.
the vegetables. Right.
Yep.
Right. So do you think that with COVID-19 and the, you know, the advent of Beyond Meat, Impossible Foods, Miyoko's cheese and so on and butter and so on and so forth, is a vegan world inevitable at this point?
Oh, it is. I mean, I got my badge on right now, Vegan World 2026. You know,
yeah.
It is the slaughterhouse workers, the COVID-19 is rampant in slaughterhouses. Rampant.
Right.
And
right.
this is our moment. And if ever
this is
a
our moment.
If ever a person is sitting on the fence, waiting and ready to go vegan, this is the moment. Just freaking jump. It ain't like you just sit around eating a bunch of tomatoes and lettuce and pickles. You know, vegans eat plant-based meat, cheeses, butter.
That's right.
You know, I mean, my God, my husband, we just got through eating nachos with, you know, Violife cheese, Miyoko cheese crackers. You know, we had sausages made by Beyond. Let me tell you, you cannot tell the difference.
Oh.
Yeah, my partner and I have a. Yeah, there's no reason.
Yeah.
There's no reason. I haven't eaten meat in 25 years, and it is just. It kind of makes me laugh and frustrates me a little bit when I hear people saying, "Oh, but vegan, that's so extreme, that's so hard." I'm like, "Oh, you kids don't know how good you have it." You know,
right.
I was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day for a decade back in the day. But,
wow.
Yeah, my partner and I have this joke. We do a lot of, you know, food pictures on my Instagram, Veggie Shell. And it's like, oh, yeah, there'll be a picture of a day of pizza with extra Miyoko's cheese on top. And like you said, nachos and cupcakes and all that good stuff. And we're like, this is the best salad I've ever had. I love eating salads. I love being vegan.
Uh-huh.
I eat just salads, you know. So it's perhaps inevitable, but we still need to be a little bit vigilant right now, would you say, in ensuring that this momentum continues? Because it does seem like there is still a lot of pushback. Even after COVID, I know that the United States government offered like a $1 billion bailout to American farmers who had to prematurely slaughter their animals, or who had to slaughter them but then could not send them to the consumers. And that sort of drives me crazy. That absolutely drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I agree with you, Renee. Yeah, it is inevitable, but that doesn't mean we should sit back and watch it happen. I think we all need to take action and ensure
absolutely.
that a thing that should be inevitable actually does become inevitable. So, Renee,
sure.
You and I have met a couple of times. You mentioned your button, Vegan World 2026. You and I actually, so for listeners out there, Renee King Sonnen and I, Michelle Schaefer, are actually in a documentary together. You can see this documentary on Amazon, and it is brought to us by Dr. Silas Rao and Jane Velez Mitchell. The name of it is Countdown to Year Zero. So Countdown to Year Zero was pretty interesting. Renee, you and I, we're both panel speakers. We're featured in this documentary. Tell the listeners about Silas Rao and why 2026? Why do we need a vegan world by 2026?
Absolutely. And thank you for reminding me of who you are, Michelle. That's awesome. Such a small world. I love it.
I know.
Dr. Silas and I met him, I think, for the first time when I went to CalCon. a few years back when Kip Anderson had Howard Lyman there, and I was there, and a lot of people. And I
and what's CalCon, Renee? Can you explain what CalCon is?
It was a conference that Calspiracy, you know, the guys that were the Calspiracy, Kip Anderson and Keegan Cunn and all that. It was a conference all about, you know, our climate and climate change and ending animal agriculture, and it was phenomenal. And they had several panelists, and Dr. Rao was on one of the panels, and I met him and started following him. And next thing I know, he's coming to Texas, because I asked him if he would be a speaker at our first, we had a Mayfest, a vegan Mayfest at Rowdy Girl Sanctuary when we were in Angleton. And he came there. But Dr. Rao, he was one of the main guys, you know, that invented the Internet, the World Wide Web.
Right.
You know, he was part of all that, the World Wide Web. And he helped make it so that everybody could actually participate in this phenomenon that we all participate in today. And so what he's doing is he's a systems guy. And he's creating a system where he's getting people together from all over the world to understand how important it is to have a vegan world by 2026. It's not that we, I'm not saying in 2026 the world is going to be vegan. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is vegan world by 2026. That means I believe with all my heart that we are in a momentum. We are in a direction. Our country, our world is falling the F apart. Everything is mounting to this climax where people need to start believing this. We must, y'all, get off that fence. It ain't worth it to hang on to your little meat patties anymore. It's time to take that leap over the little edge and say goodbye to all of that blood, guts, gore, and violence.
Yep.
Just say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Go on forward, because I'm going to tell you, decades ahead, your kids, your grandkids are going to look back and say, what in the heck were y'all thinking?
Right. Yeah.
Be on the right side of history.
That's absolutely right. What does Dr. Rao believe will happen in the year 2026 if we do not become a vegan world by that time?
Well, he says that if we don't do that, that we are going to absolutely not have any more wild animals in the world. That all the
right, no
all
more.
Vertebrates. Wild animal vertebrates.
Yeah.
All the wild animals, you will only have them in zoos.
Right.
But there will be no more land mass where wild animals live. Because humanity is the biggest virus right now on our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And,
lack thereof. Yeah.
Yes.
Lack of humanity. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so he's predicted, he's looked at the numbers, he's worked with the Center for Biological Diversity, he's really paid attention to what's happening in terms of this mass extinction that we may be in the middle of. Hopefully we're not there yet, but some scientists believe that we are in the middle of sixth great extinction, so that if we continue to consume meat and dairy the way we have been, by year 2026, all wild vertebrate will die out. Now, that is something to wrap your head around. So there's so many reasons to go vegan, right? The three big ones are, number one, for people like Renee and me, it's ethics. It's, you know, we call ourselves ethical vegans. Well, Renee, I don't want to speak for you. I refer to myself as an ethical vegan. So there's the animal rights angle, and then there's the personal health angle. You know, you can't just sit around eating cheeseburgers and pizza and ice cream if you're doing it the traditional route without experiencing some pretty negative health consequences. But when you do those things plant-based, you know, when you do plant-based burgers and pizzas and ice creams, you're not eating any cholesterol. You have a much better chance of burning that off. It works through your system faster. A lot of people experience much better health. And then finally, maybe the most urgent right now is the environmental impact of eating meat and dairy. Renee, talk a little bit about that. You speak so passionately about your beliefs on that. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, you know, and I am an ethical vegan. Thank you. I have no problem pointing that out to anybody. You know, the environment is suffering terribly because of animal agriculture. Deforestation, world hunger. I mean, here we have all this landmass. We're growing all this food to feed all these animals, so that we could kill more animals in slaughterhouses, have all these vessels of blood and urine and guts. You know that. Let me tell you, you know, all these horrible places are not where you can, you know, you can go see them and take your kids on a field trip. They are hidden. And, you know, and there's all these ag gag laws that, you know, I mean, they're always wanting to fight people for exposing the truth because they are killing the environment. Our environment is suffering because animal agriculture is deadly. It's toxic. And why people want to continue to support something that's killing not only you, but your children, your grandkids, the very land that we all need to live on. This is no longer personal. This is global.
Right.
This is global. And so our environment is suffering. Our oceans are dying off. You know, our soil is decertified. Deforestation is at an all-time high. The Amazon forest is burning up. I mean, the handwriting's on the wall. What are we going to do? Wait until all the animals are gone? Wait until the Amazon is freaking fried?
Do that.
To say, I think I'll go vegan now.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right. So that, Mary, do we need to take a break?
Yeah, we do. Just a real quick one, if you'll bear with me. I'm going to give our phone number out one more time. Well, probably three more times. 516-418-5651. And we'll be right back.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I...
Okay, well, that commercial isn't wanting to play, so we're just going to skip it. We're back, 516-418-5651. We've got about 17 or 18 minutes if you want to call in and talk with Renee King Sonnen, the founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, or Michelle Schaefer, our own veggie shell from Be Unique, or with Jean Albertson, who's a hybrid volunteer on steroids between Green Gables and us.
And Be Unique Unscripted.
That's us.
And Mary Brotherton, the most amazing editor in the history of editors. You are just a joy to work with, and this is a little bit of a love fest right now, but that's okay. The world needs lots of love.
We need lots more love. We can never get enough.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to be a part of this community today.
So if anybody wants to get in on the really good love and feeling great about what you do, give us a call, 516-418-5651. You were asking Renee a question before I jumped in. I apologize. Interesting that the ad went blank.
That darn ad. Well, anyhow, listen to the Coffee and Tea podcast. Watch Coffee and Tea and Be Unique and become a part of the Coffee and Tea community at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.ORG. Beunique.org. So, Renee, what would you say to somebody who says, okay, that's great that you're vegan, Tommy's vegan, you transformed your ranch to veganism, but let's just live and let live. You said Texas is really a culture of live and let live. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. What is your response to that, given everything you just said about the effects of the meat and dairy industry on the planet?
Well, I mean, as far as Texas being a live and let live state and the dairy industry and the meat industry in Texas, is that what you're wanting to know?
Well, actually, let's get more personal. Let's make it a little bit more personal. Let's say, actually, Gene Albertson, hi there, Gene. I'm gonna pick on you right now, son. Before the show started, you were talking about how you feel like you're kind of right there, and by that you meant you're so close to going vegan. Gene, can you talk a little bit about what it is that's keeping you from making that leap? And I actually don't mean to put you on the spot, but that is what I'm doing.
Well,
but I think it would be helpful for us to have this conversation and for any listeners out there who may be feeling like they're almost there, they almost feel ready, but they're just not quite there. You said you live with someone who is a meat eater, is that correct?
Yes. I grew up eating meat in around a farm in meat-eating country out in South Dakota, and that's what we always did. And I'm currently living with my mom, and we've both been meat eaters. And I've really, just over the years, gotten away from it. And, you know, interestingly, I didn't even know it. It's just because this industrial meat over the last 30 years has gotten so terrible. I just have stopped enjoying it.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized that. Wow. And that's when I really started learning more about the whole concept of industrial farming, because even the farm I grew up around, which was dairy, when they retired from the dairy industry, they just went to this open range ranching. And, you know, I didn't think much about it until I started learning these things that Renee's talking about today. And it makes sense. Of course, that's why I've got this thing I can't enjoy at all and cost way more than I'm about to spend and that sort of thing. And I'll say one of my last holdouts was a big, juicy cheeseburger. And we recently had an event here at Green Gables, and somebody brought some black bean burgers, and I tried one, and that's it. That's all I really needed to say I'm. That's about the last thing I needed to eat for meat. So I'm about there. I'm on my way. I'm doing it. So.
Good. Good for you.
I talked to other people who were thinking same thing.
You can talk to me or my husband anytime. I mean, if you like black bean burgers, you'll love Beyond. You know,
that's right.
You'll love Beyond Burger because they are so freaking good. I mean, seriously. And I mean,
amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of people don't understand, just because, like you talked about earlier, the cultural drive that we have in our eatingness, a lot of us, and don't have beans, and a lot of people are adversely physically affected by it sometimes. And so if I can just eat beans, there are so many different kinds of beans with different flavors that can be used for so many different things. It's just amazing. It's out of this world, and
Despite some sad diets that sort of speak out against beans, beans really have been proven to be one of the healthiest foods on the planet. It's definitely a staple in my diet. But I like what Renee's talking about with the Beyond Meat and the Impossible Foods. For listeners who don't know, those are two completely separate companies. They both sort of came to the to consumers at the same time, but they're different companies, different products, both 100% vegan, but they look, smell, and taste quite different. So it's almost like, for my old listeners out there, like back in the day, Pepsi versus Coke. It's kind of like that. It's like Beyond or Impossible. But what a wonderful challenge! You know, what a wonderful throwdown to be having. Do you prefer Beyond or do you prefer Impossible? Now you can get Beyond Meat at all the TGI Fridays all across the nation and at several local restaurants. Just check around. You can also get it at the grocery store. You will find their foods in the meat section. The meat section. So you go where the ground beef is to the grocery stores to find the Beyond Meat patties and sausages. And now you can do the same thing with Impossible Burger. It comes in like a ground and a round, also in the meat section. They taste completely different. Impossible
burgers. If you'd like to try those, you can get those at White Castle. Of course, you can get the Impossible Whopper at Burger King, and now you can also get that food in the grocery store.
Listen to Renee advertising for all these countries that aren't paying for us. Oh.
This is Michelle speaking, so I don't want to put that burden on Renee. But Renee, I know one of the things that you and your husband do is help other ranchers transform, as we said earlier in the show, to solar, to wind, to mushrooms, and to ingredients. So this is very cool. How financially viable is it for ranchers who are currently ranching in beef and dairy and poultry to transform? How long does it take to transform a farm, a cattle, dairy, or poultry farm into, say, a solar energy farm, a wind power farm, mushrooms, or ingredients, you know, to provide for Miyoko's cheese or the spices for Impossible Burger, etc.? How long does that take? How financially viable is it? What's going on there?
Wow, you have just digested my website, haven't you? You know it. You know
yes.
the whole.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate
yes,
you so
ma'am.
Much. You know, this is the thing. What I am finding is like as I am in the weeds, if you will, of transitioning the Barrett Family Farm, particularly. The Barrett Family Farm is converting to mushrooms. There is not enough data yet to project the kind of monetary. What kind of money is the ranchers are going to be able to make monetarily by switching over to, you know, plant, solar, wind, you know, becoming an ingredient supplier, whatever. There's not enough data yet. We are creating that data. We are doing those studies now. I mean, it's like people tell me, Renee, you know, you are like pioneering this movement,
right.
You know, and I don't see myself that way. Other people see me that way.
I definitely see you that way.
She's an innovator.
But do you hear me? Yeah, and see, so what you're reading on my website is my vision. My vision is to be able.
You're creating
to,
this.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
My mission, my passion, my vision is so powerful that I am attracting into my sphere the folks that want to change. If you want to become, if you're a rancher out there or a farmer that wants to know how to change your how to ranch or farm into a wind farm, hey, you, if you really want to do it and you want to get into our program, I will figure it out. I know the folks, I know the people, I have the sources, I have the network to where I could figure it out. But we're creating the data points. You know,
you're creating it, and you have kits, correct? Tell us about the RAP Coalition, R-A-P, RAP Coalition. Is that what's going on there?
The RAP Coalition, the RAP Coalition is an incredible force. We, you know, I have some folks that are just like, we have probably about 30 or so people on the coalition, but some of the ones that you might know are like Dr. Rao, Jane Velez Mitchell, Anita Crine, Robert Grillo with Free From Harm. There's several folks like that, like that you would know. And then there's people that you may not know that are like writing the business model for the Barrett Family Farm. You know, that's Paul McGee Berry. He's got a beautiful platform called Waking Justice. And he hasn't even launched it yet, but I promise you that this man, he has done the work so that we got the funding that we needed to get over $1 million to transition this Barrett Family Farm from what was a chicken farm, cattle ranch. We saved 240 of their cows that we're still looking for.
Wow.
I got to find land for these cows, you know. And so Paul Berry, Jody Rash, he's, on the board of directors of Woodstock, also Veg Fund, and he is one of our RAP coalition. He helps us and advises us on all kind of financial stuff. What makes sense, what doesn't make sense.
Renee, what does RAP stand for? What does RAP stand for the listeners?
Rancher Advocacy Program.
Rancher Advocacy Program.
And if you go to Rancher Advocacy, if you go to rancheradvocacy.org, I have a standalone website for that as well.
Yeah, love it. Rancheradvocacy.org. So you're developing kits, you're drawing in resources, you are building this model for the future. It is absolutely amazing. Listeners, if you want to call in and get in one quick question for Renee from Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, please call 516-418-5651. That's area code 516-418-5651. Renee, you and Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. Yes, yes.
I need to press one more button, our last commercial of the day, and see if it works. And that'll give
Let's
you time to call in. Give that number one more time, and then we'll come back to Renee.
Please call us at area code 516-418-5651.
Let's see if this magic works.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together to change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
We are back with Michelle, Renee, and Jean. Carry on, folks.
This is Michelle. Renee, you are once again just an incredible, badass, feminist, vegan hero. You are a pioneer. You amaze me. I love your energy. I love everything about you. You're just incredible. You're changing the world. Rowdy Girl Sanctuary has been featured on CBS and ABC, Mercy for Animals, The Dodo, Care 2, One Green Planet, Jane Velez Mitchell, and my alma mater, Main Street Vegan Academy, Main Street Vegan. Renee and I, Michelle Schaefer, are also featured together in Jane Velez Mitchell's film Countdown to Year Zero. Countdown to Year Zero is available on Amazon, free for Prime members. Please go watch it. Renee, before we say goodbye today, please tell others how they can get involved, how they can support the work you're doing, and anything else you want to share. And if you want to sing us a song before we go, I know you have a gorgeous voice, and I'd love to hear Can't See the Forest for the Trees.
Oh, my God.
How can people, how can people get involved? How can people support you, Renee?
I can't see the forest. No. All right. Y'all become a member of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. That is the best way. I mean, we love our major donors, our one-time donors, but we have a membership program where you can donate 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, whatever you want per month. And when you do that, you can donate through our just general membership. You can become a RAP member. You can adopt one of our animals and sponsor that way. We love our members. We engage our members. We stay in touch with our members. And you can get on rowdygirlsanctuary.org/membership or / members to find out more about that. And you can go to rancheradvocacy.org to find out how to, you know, become a member there. But, you know, become a member. Follow our social media. Subscribe to our newsletter, you know, to find out more. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're on, you know, we got Rancher Advocacy Program on both Facebook and Instagram and, you know, and the Twitter platform. So just follow us, subscribe, and become a member.
Like, share, and subscribe to Rowdy Girl Sanctuary on all social media platforms and the Rancher Advocacy Program. That's rancheradvocacy.org. Renee Kingasonen, thank you so very much for being with us here today at The Unique. Will you sing us your beautiful song as we say goodbye today? Can't see the forest through the trees?
All righty then. It's so hard to see reality when it's staring you in the face. Like your memory, the river in front of me can never be replaced. The beauty of a fallen leaf gently touches ground. Oh, the wonder of love is all around, but I can't see the forest for the trees. How's that?
Bravo.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. Thank you so much, Renee. This is Michelle Schaefer for BeUnique.org.
Does anybody have any final words they'd like to leave us with today?
Go
I think
vegan.
Renee said it. Go vegan. Yeah.
Go vegan. And Jean, you need to go vegan today. Let this be the
right
day.
Now.
I took pinto beans out to make when I get home for dinner, so we'll see what happens there. I think it's going to happen.
Right.
Good. Very good.
Awesome.
And you know, your mom will do well to have a whole lot less meat in her life.
Oh,
I found that to be true with my mother.
Yeah, everybody, I think, will.
Yeah.
I would just love to make sure I'm following all of y'all on your social media. So if you would tell me where I can make sure I'm following everybody.
Well, if you'll just go to The Unique Magazine.
Yeah, I've got that one for sure.
And I'll find you if you don't find me. I'm just Jean Albertson. I just have a Facebook open profile.
And I am Michelle Schaefer. I'm a vegan writer. I am a staff writer at BeUnique, BeUnique.org. And I have a website, veggieshell.com, VeggieShell.com. And I am Veggie Shell on all social media platforms. And I'm mostly active on Instagram.
Veggie, S-C-H-E-L.
Cool.
No S, just C-H-E-L. Pulled it right out of Michelle. Michelle Schaefer.
That's awesome.
Veggie Shell. Yep.
All right.
Thank you so much for asking.
Your last name is Schaefer. Michelle Schaefer.
Schaefer. Michelle Schaefer.
Got it. Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much.
Excellent.
All right. Best friend forever.
Thank you, guys. Love you all.
Y'all be looking for
go with God and walk within love.
Yes.
Y'all be looking for
right.
A big food conference coming up.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to BeUnique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.